Please go with me to Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, verses, actually going to read verses 8 through 14 this morning. We're going to concern ourselves with 11 through 14 in the lesson, but you have to see 8 through 14 to really capture what we're talking about. So Romans 13, 8 through 14, and please stand with me for the reading of the scriptures. Romans 13, 8 through 14. It says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt of love to one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." And then the verses we're going to look at this morning, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissensions or jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your sinful nature." Father, over the next few minutes, we desperately need your Spirit to come and teach us. You said that there is an anointing that abides that teaches us. Holy Spirit, do your work in us today. Teach us, encourage us, equip us, and help us to live as if it were bright daylight out in the world we live in. Come, Holy Spirit, and be our guide, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Anybody here an early riser? Okay. I just wanted to see how many people I was going to offend this morning. No, not at all. Early morning people are a unique group. When Deb and I were first married, she was an early morning person. I work on the opposite end of the clock. I am a late night person and I like to sleep in. And usually early morning people are cheery when they get up. Oh my word. You know, it's a really great concept. But in practicality, if you're married to somebody who is not an early riser, that cheeriness is really a problem for the person who doesn't like to get out of bed. I mean, early risers, they love to get up before daylight. They're cheery. They love to get started. They're overdosed on optimism, in my opinion. While the rest of the world is still rubbing sleep from their eyes, they're got a smile on their face, and they're just irritating all of us. What makes the early riser tick? Why get up before the sun does? I don't quite understand that. What does it accomplish? How does it benefit? And again, here's my disclaimer. I probably shouldn't be the guy that's talking about this at all, because I am not an early riser. But from what I can gather, getting up before dawn provides a wonderful time of quiet reflection to start the day. There's not a lot of motion going on. There's not a lot of traffic, not a lot of noise. So that's happening. And on the rare occasion that I see a sunrise, which usually is most Sunday mornings from October through about March, because I drive right down Brighton Avenue and it's staring me right in the face, on the way to church, there's just a tranquil joy in greeting a new day. There are times when I'm just making that about 5 minutes down Brighton Avenue that is just stunning to watch the sunrise. Getting up before dawn also ensures that you're ahead of the game. It seems you can accomplish more in those hours when nobody else is up and functioning than those, obviously, who are lingering in sleep and hitting the snooze button on a regular basis. Well, in Romans 13, Paul uses this image of dawn, slumber, waking, darkness, and light to further our understanding of what it means to live by the law of love. We live by the law of love by being early risers. When we talk about early risers this morning, we're not talking about physically getting up before dawn, but we are talking about the time period in which we live. Love your neighbor as yourself and do this considering the time that you live in. And this image of slumber and waking in daylight really is an end times image. And I need to qualify that, because when we Americans especially And evangelicals in our ilk, we think of the end times in this sense of timelines and graphs and raptures and when it happens, when it doesn't happen, and we think of immediacy. But the reality is the end times started when Jesus Christ was born, okay? And then you go to Mark chapter 1, right around verse 15, Jesus shows up at the synagogue and he says, "The time has come." I'm like, what does he mean? It's like, who shows up at church on Sunday, stands up, just a visitor in the synagogue, and says, "The time has come," you know? Who does? Well, Jesus does. Why? Because he's saying this moment of time that Israel has been waiting for, that all of creation has been longing for, has dawned. It is beginning in this moment. And technically, the end times, as we know them, started with his ascension and the arrival of the Holy Spirit. So we have been living in the end times since the arrival of Jesus Christ. And so there's this sense in which we're still living in a season of darkness, but we need to be people who are early risers, not because the alarm clock went off at 5 o'clock this morning, but because we are the people of God who are awake, at least are supposed to be awake and aware to what is happening in the world around us. This morning, we want to learn to live in Christian love, and we have to understand that it requires an early riser's mindset. That's really what it does. It requires an early riser's mindset. And the early riser's mind is set. It lives as if the dawn has already arrived. The dawn has already arrived. Romans 13, 8 through 10, Paul encourages Christians to act out of sacrificial love to each other and to those around them, doing no harm to a neighbor at all. This is what the Old Testament intended when it gave us the commandments. If you go through all of the Old Testament laws, you will find that it will either align itself with love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, or love your neighbor as yourself. Even those things that you really struggle with, if you read through the Bible every year, you get into Leviticus and it says, you know, cut the dove this way and do this and do that. What is that? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do it in the prescribed way. And then when it says, don't do this to your neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law is encapsulated in those two things. And now Paul turns and says, and do this. Do what? Sacrificially love everybody that you have influence over, those you come in contact with, understanding the present time. Understanding the present time. Well, early risers understand that daybreak is coming soon. They understand that. There's no doubt in their mind that daybreak is happening. If you woke up like I did at 5 o'clock, I've been in Eastern time zone, which I have now dubbed the devil's time zone. it's like, oh, you know, class starts at 8 o'clock. Oh, that seems so late. Yeah, well, it's 7 o'clock my time. That means I'm getting up at 5 o'clock, you know. So when I woke up this morning at 5 o'clock, but I knew what? With certainty that eventually the sun would rise. There was no doubt in my mind. Early risers understand that daybreak is happening soon. And Paul is giving very specific teaching regarding the connection between the return of Christ, Christian love, and our environment of moral darkness that we live in. I just want us to think of it in astronomical terms for a minute. Sunrise takes place over a lengthy period of time, according to scientists, okay? Those who rise early know this. If you get up in the dark 4 or 5 o'clock, you know that sunrise is just around the corner. You don't doubt that at all. You don't get up early thinking the sun is never going to rise ever again. You safely assume that it will rise, and you know, you've never been wrong, obviously. It always comes up. But the time between astronomical dawn and civil dawn is when the sun breaks the horizon, is 72 minutes. So the process of dawn actually takes an hour and a quarter to be fulfilled. And if you've taken time to get up, you know, that 72 minutes ahead of when the sun rises over the horizon, you notice this gradation that happens. When you first get up and you're 72 minutes ahead of dawn, it's dark out, just like it's the middle of the night. And then slowly you get a little bit of gray and a little bit more gray, and then a little hint of color as that whole thing proceeds, and you can see more detail as the process goes along. That's exactly what Paul is talking about here. This doesn't all happen at once. It's a slow progressing movement toward daybreak. That's Paul's concept. Christians live in an era of constant darkness. But that doesn't mean that the sun is never going to rise and that Jesus isn't going to return. Because in fact, when Jesus left this earth in ascension and he sent the Holy Spirit, astronomical dawn in a spiritual sense began in that moment. And we've been moving toward civil dawn when he breaks the eastern sky at daybreak. We've been living in between those two in the church era. And he's encouraging us to take on that early riser's mindset. Don't let the darkness that's around you get you down. Don't let the darkness that's around you just say, you know what, I'm just going to roll over and go back to bed, hit the snooze button. Get up. That's what Paul says. Awake from your slumber. You know what time it is. Dawn is just around the corner. You're living in an era of darkness, but you are in the in-between of dawn, and it's time to rouse yourself morally, rouse yourself missionally, and be about God's work, even though it looks like it's dark outside. Paul is encouraging all believers to hold on to that early riser's mindset as we slowly see the manifestation of the return of Christ happening in front of us. Early risers are certain. They have no doubts that the sun will crest the horizon. We are still in that process of dawn spiritually. But we realize the process has started and there is a certainty that Jesus Christ will return. In the Assemblies of God, we believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. I learned this week in my study after class. And imminence, I think of soon, immediate, time frame. This is exact, it's going to happen any moment. That's one half of the equation. The flip side of that equation is certainty. When we speak of the imminent return of Jesus Christ, we kind of overdose on the soonness of the return. But we need to balance that out with the certainty of the return, because the certainty is so important. If I'm certain that he's going to come, if I'm certain that the dawn is going to happen, listen, I don't worry about how long it's dark. I'm not sitting around fretting about, you know, oh, Jesus is taking forever to come. What? Don't worry about that. What? Concern yourself with the certainty of his return. When you are certain that the sun is going to rise, it doesn't matter how long you've been up, because you know daylight is going to come. That's what needs to be our mindset. We may be living in a dark, gray, distorted world, which is very much like that early dawn period. It's difficult to navigate, but because we believe in Jesus Christ, we are certain that the dawn of his appearing is going to happen. Second, early risers shake off their slumber and they live fully awake. They live fully awake. Occasionally, I go fishing with a group of guys and they like to leave at 3 a.m. They call it Oh Dark 30. For some strange reason, they think that helps. Oh, we're going to go leave at Oh Dark 30. So that means I have to get up before the middle of the night to get ready. But no matter what time of year it is, you know, that is the middle of the night, 3 a.m. So, but we go in full confidence that the sun's going to rise and we're going to be fishing during the daylight. When we leave the house, we are fully dressed for the day. We've eaten breakfast, we packed a lunch, we carry sunglasses and sunscreen with us. If daylight were not coming, all of those disciplines of getting up would be ridiculous, right? That would just be the most foolish thing you could ever possibly do. We set out at 3 o'clock in the morning, so convinced that daybreak is coming that we act like it's actually already happened. That's how early risers act. They get up from the day. They don't linger in their pajamas. They get ready for the day, even though it's dark outside. And that would be ridiculous if the dawn wasn't going to happen. But it does happen. It never ceases to happen. We're certain that it's going to happen. And as Christians, we need to live exactly the same way. When we're endeavoring to live in Christian love, one of the greatest motivating factors that we have is the certainty that Jesus Christ is sometime going to crest the horizon. He is coming back. Therefore, we live in Christian love, even when people despise us, even when they misuse us, even when they abuse us. We act in Christian love because we are certain that Jesus Christ is returning. When Paul says the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, he's telling Christians, even though you live in an era of moral darkness and you're swimming in it, you look around you, you can't barely see any light, even though it seems as if daylight will never come, the process of dawn has already started, and you need to get up, get dressed, have breakfast, and then begin to act as if the sun had fully risen. There is no room in Christianity for hitting the moral snooze button, sliding back into a lifestyle of darkness, because that's what slumber represents here. There's no need to walk around in this sleepy stupor of in between. Rouse yourself. This is Paul saying, rouse yourself and live as if Christ has already dawned and returned. In the time between Christ's ascension, his departure from earth, and his return, Christians are tasked with shaking off the lifestyles that thrive in moral darkness. We have to stir ourselves from absorption in the present evil age, no longer conforming to the society's norms. Romans 12:2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what's the flip side of that? No longer be conformed to the world you live in. And then he gets over in 13 and he says, shake off your slumber, come awake. What? Don't be absorbed and conformed to the world you're living in. How do we shake off that moral slumber? How do we rile ourselves up to get out of bed when it feels so much better to just give into the darkness? Well, the early riser's mindset nurtures Christian love. It nurtures Christian love. Paul's admonition to throw off sleep is as pointed for some today as it was for those in the Roman church. He is suggesting that there are some Christians within the Roman church who are living as if this present darkness will continue indefinitely. Listen, this is how our neighbors live. They're living as if the moral darkness of this world will continue endlessly. So they do what? They throw themselves wholeheartedly into moral darkness. I mean, if it's dark out and you want to sleep, then sleep. And that's what they're doing. They're living in that moral darkness. And he says to the church, you should not live as if the night were going to go on forever. You must live how? As if daybreak has already happened. Our neighbors are in deep sleep. We shouldn't be in sleep. They're not aware of the ramifications of ignoring the times we live in. We shouldn't live that way because we know better. And it's possible that some in the church are enjoying the cover of darkness to indulge their sinful passions. And he says, no, you can't be doing that. So what do we do? Well, by nurturing Christian love, we stop living in ways that reflect darkness. We stop living in ways that reflect darkness. Have you found that there are some things that people do more readily under the cover of darkness than others? Of course there are. It's easier to stage a robbery at night, isn't it? Darkness is your friend, if that's the case. I mean, why is it easier to do embarrassing and questionable things at night? I mean, is it easier to assault someone at night or at noon? Right? This is Paul's logic. We think that the cover of darkness will cover our behavior and even our consciences. That's how people live. But Christians have to wake up to an awareness that their behavior matters. And I don't mean this in a rude and legalistic way, but we've come too far in our adjustment to the legalism of a previous generation to the point where behavior in our minds doesn't necessarily matter. And let me assure you, behavior does matter. It matters hugely how Christians live. How else can we be the light of the world If we're doing nothing but reflecting darkness at people? How will they ever know that Jesus even exists or he transforms lives? Behavior is the billboard. Our words are the thing that draw people into the experience of Christianity. So what Paul is saying is wake up, give up on your slumber, and live as if day has dawned. Later, Paul says that we should not be meditating on ways to appease our sinful passions. We shouldn't spend time entertaining thoughts and planning ways to fulfill our darkness desires. Why? Because Christians should be living in the confidence that daybreak is about to happen. It's not that far away, and if it is that far away, it's going to happen. It is certain. Let me assure you of this. The next thing on God's calendar is the return of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's where he's at. And if we don't live that way, we are not as motivated to live in Christian love. And please trust me on this. I don't want you to be afraid that the next thing on God's calendar is the return of Jesus Christ. We've got to come to an attitude where we go, yes, that is the next thing on God's calendar. Because if you're dreading it, it might be an indicator that you're still slumbering and living in darkness and fulfilling your passions in dark ways. Love for Christ gives us confidence in what he says. It motivates our forsaking sin, striving to obey him. A big part of that is just trusting what he says. Very simply, I will return. Living in love means we behave as if it were daytime, rejecting our sinful passions. Second, living in love means that we exchange darkness for light. He uses this wonderful image of clothing. When we wake up in the morning, we have a routine to get ready for our day, and it usually includes changing from our PJs into proper daylight clothing. I did not go to sleep looking like this last night. Okay? No, I did not. If I did, I found the ultimate wrinkle-free pants. Right? We get up and we change. So what Paul is saying, if you're a Christian and you're slumbering as if daylight is never going to come, you're hitting the snooze button morally over and over and over again, it's time to get up. But when you get up, change your clothing so that you are looking like you're getting ready for your day. Sinfulness is thought of as a garment here. Daylight, moral purity, is pictured as the armor of light. It indicates that we're engaged in a conflict. This is going to be a struggle, but what are we doing? We've put on clothing that is light emitting so that people can see that Jesus Christ transforms lives and can transform their life as well. So when we walk out into the darkness, we're just not walking out there unrecognizable. Our behavior is armor of light that emits the love and the grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ to those around us, providing us a platform for sharing it verbally with them. Living in Christian love in a society that is bent on mutual self-destruction is a battle. It's not going to be easy. We are light in the darkness. Darkness is no fan of light. I know how it is. Somebody walks in your room, you're in dead sleep, and they turn the lights on. You're just, oh, what are you doing to me? That's how that works, but we are tasked with that duty every day. The imagery of taking off the deeds of darkness, putting on light, and ultimately, in verse 14, putting on Jesus Christ is an exchange of behavior, establishing a brand new way of living and relating. Activities that seem proper for the nighttime have to be abandoned in the daytime. In fact, all of the activities mentioned here are opposites of Christian love. If we do those things, we are doing harm to our neighbors. Christian love is self-controlled. It's not unhinged through the vehicle of drunkenness. Why does Paul single out drunkenness? Because when a person is drunk, they lack judgment and are more inclined to delve into things that they shouldn't be doing. They're more easily drawn into other sinful behavior. So drunkenness opens the door to the use and abuse of others as well as the humiliation of self. Dissensions and jealousies. I love that he adds those two in there. I mean, those are far more socially acceptable to us, especially as Christians, but they are characterized as actions that belong to the night, not to the daytime. So we are supposed to upgrade our living to live as if dawn has happened, daylight is here, putting on Jesus Christ, putting on the armor that emits light around us everywhere we go. Paul's primary admonition is this. If you're a Christian and you're sleeping, you're not preparing for Jesus Christ to crest the horizon. It's time to live in preparation. If you're sleeping, wake yourself up from your conformity to the ways of this society and live in Christian love, which is exhibited in biblical morality. We live between Christ's ascension and Christ's second coming. And his return is as certain as the break of dawn that happens every day. It's like the soon arriving dawn. We need to live in this present darkness as if the dawning of God's new age has begun, because it has. It has. So today, I am one day closer to the sun cresting the horizon. That doesn't freak me out. What does that do? It motivates me to live as if it were daylight. Every Christian needs to have an early riser's mindset. Every Christian needs to have. There is no room for hitting the snooze button morally. Why? Because Jesus Christ is returned. And we are children of light, tasked with living out lifestyles that emit that light. The light of day, even though it's darkness. Isn't that amazing? That, I mean, to me, the imagery is stunning, because that's how close Paul saw the dawn. You guys are familiar with black lights, right? If we filled this room with black light right now, everything that was white or neon would just, break out insane brightness. Well, it's almost like that. How do you get armor of light? You get armor of light because it's reflecting something, isn't it? It's reflecting the rays of the dawn. It's a beautiful image. It really is. So we're here, what? The dawn is so close that when we walk out there clothed in Christ, what are we doing? We are emitting the light of that dawn, that return, every day. How do we live in Christian love? You cannot live in Christian love unless you also have a mind frame that says the dawn has started. The return of Christ is in progress. And when I get that in my mind, I tell you what, I begin to act differently and relate differently and think differently about where I'm at. And that's the whole goal. I want to live in Christian love. I have to have a mindset that Jesus' return is imminent. It's certain that he is returning, and the clock is ticking toward that return. Amen? Stand with me, please. Father, thank you for your grace in these moments of worship and communion and word. And I pray that everything that we've done today, the Holy Spirit would have landed something in us, whether through a lyric or through the Holy Spirit speaking to us in communion time, or through one of the words that was shared of testimony, or, Lord, through the scriptures that have been shared today. Holy Spirit, let something resonate in us that will equip us, convict us if necessary, but motivate us and empower us to leave this place right now, to live in Christian love with our minds set on heaven. The dawn has already started. Thank you for that truth. Fill us and use us to bring people closer to you this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.